I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, is getting ready for his confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill. One subject he can expect to be asked about a lot is abortion and whether he'd vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. So it's a good time, perhaps, to ask, what's it like in a country where abortion is illegal? The answer, of course, depends on what country you're talking about. The World's Rupa Shenoy decided to ask the question of the small South American country of Paraguay. She was there for our Across Women's Lives project, and she found the answer led back to a longtime dictator who was backed by the U.S. And I should warn you, this story includes some details that may not be appropriate for everyone.
3 years ago, Paraguay made one of its rare appearances in international news for a horrible reason. A 10-year-old girl called Mayumbu had been raped by her stepfather, and despite pressure from the United Nations and Amnesty International, the Paraguayan government forced the girl to give birth because abortion is illegal in the country. Illegal abortions are one of the leading causes of death among Paraguayan women. This March, it happened again, but this time, the 14-year-old girl who'd been raped died during childbirth. Paraguayans have responded with protests like this one on a Saturday morning in Asunción. Shop clerks lean out of doors to watch as hundreds of children march on a downtown street carrying signs that say, "My body, my territory," and "Girls aren't mothers." Margarita Troche is here with her children.
We're here today for the children who are abused in Paraguay.
Two girls younger than 14 give birth every day in Paraguay, according to UNICEF. Troche says things like that happen in part because girls don't know they have a right to say no, because there's no sex education in schools.
Al fin y al cabo, hoy día comprendemos.
Minors don't have that understanding, so they fall prey to these situations that we know are, in fact, sexual abuse.
It's impossible to separate issues like abortion, child sexual abuse, and a lack of sex ed in Paraguay because they're all linked. And Paraguayan women have a hard time talking about any of those issues without also mentioning a man who still symbolizes a culture of oppression and machismo, Alfredo Stroessner, the longest-serving dictator in South American history from 1954 to 1989.
En esa época, Paraguay no se podía sacar la verdad.
In those times in Paraguay, you couldn't speak the truth.
Just a few blocks away from the march, Martin Ibarola is caretaker at one of the last standing reminders of Stroessner's regime, a rundown one-story jail once used to hold his political prisoners. He speaks through a tube in his neck because of an illness. And he says Stroessner was brutal. Protests were banned. The press was restricted. Elections were orchestrated. Gay men were persecuted. In the museum, framed documents show Paraguay's role in Operation Condor, an agreement among six South American dictators to disappear their political enemies so dissidents couldn't escape to neighboring countries. The U.S. helped train soldiers in torture in the name of stopping the spread of communism.
They used the idea of communism to get help from the U.S., not just Paraguay. All of South America.
There was special torture for women. Out back are small jail cells where Ibarola says female prisoners were raped. Ibarola says a few have come back and talked to him. One was named Teresita.
Teresita me cuenta de la tortura, pero nunca yo como ella y mujer preguntarles.
Teresita would tell me about the torture, but I never ask women about being raped. I asked the men who did their military service here if they remember her, and three of them said, "Yes, I knew her. She was too pretty." That tells you everything. They tell me that when shift change would happen, the officer in charge would start his shift by raping Teresita.
The dictatorship ended in 1989, and Stroessner died a decade ago. Some things have improved. For example, almost a third of Paraguayan women work as maids, and under Stroessner, they had no set wage, working hours, or age limits. Now it's law that they earn at least 60% of minimum wage. So there's a ways to go. Stroessner's political party, the Colorado Party, remains in power today, and across the street from the museum memorializing his atrocities, the walls of buildings are covered with fresh graffiti calling for legal abortion and accusing the state of oppressing women.
Hola. Hola. Permiso. Hola.
far down the street in Paraguay's Congress, women still feel like they're fighting a male-dominated culture that Stroessner enforced. Rocío Casco was a university student activist when the dictatorship ended. Now she's one of a few female lawmakers. As she walks into the auditorium where they debate bills, she's surrounded by men in black suits and a few women in skirts and really high heels. Casco, in contrast, wears a red plaid shirt, jeans, and sneakers. Recently, she introduced a bill that would increase penalties for targeted violence against women from fines to years in prison. There was a line in the legislation that said women in Paraguay face attacks when they don't fit gender stereotypes. So when they're not, for example, submissive or heterosexual. Opponents latched on to one word, gender. It's not used much in conservative traditional Paraguay.
Luchamos mucho. Entonces, era así una confrontación casi intergaláctica.
We fought a lot. It was almost an intergalactic confrontation because for opponents, the word gender was the end of the world. They argued that the law was a hallmark of a foreign ideology that would impose a new world order. The conspiracies were unbelievable over one word.
In the end, she had to take the word out to get the bill passed. Casco doesn't think the law is as powerful as it could have been. I meet Sonia Bruque in a restaurant near Congress where all the politicians hang out. She helped create the country's Ministry of Women, which was a big deal in those first few years after the dictatorship ended, when Paraguay was building a democracy. But recently, she says, progress has slowed. Bruque thinks there's a powerful new conservative movement in Paraguay that's pushing back on women's rights, just like in the U.S. and Europe.
Hoy día hay mucho más resistencia a temas.
Today, there's a lot more resistance to topics that have to do with women's sexual health, women's work, gender relations. I think that there's been a regression in terms of support of these topics.
Bruque now leads a congressional committee on women. She wonders if her generation has become too complacent.
When I talk about changes, my daughter doesn't understand what I'm talking about. For her, this is awful. It could be better. But for me, this is a lot because I saw what came before.
Bruque says younger women who aren't marked by the Stroessner era demand high standards. They won't just settle for things being somewhat better than they were before. For The World, Rupa Shenoy, Asuncion.